taking your seats, we'll get going in the next couple seconds. There we go. Okay, thank you very much. I will call this meeting to order at 6:04 p.m. As is customary, we will begin with attendance. President Kuzmun, Vice President Chellen,
present.
Vice President Woods, Vice President Lay, Vice President Lau,
present.
Governor Kelly,
present.
Councillor Battelle,
present.
Councillor Borden,
present.
Councillor Mills,
present.
Councillor Hanwell,
present.
Councillor Bannister,
present.
Mr. Matthew for Councillor Chivon.
Yep.
And again, tell me if I'm saying names wrong, because it'll probably take me a few weeks for a few names. Is it Matthew?
Yes.
Thank you. Councillor Mohammed?
Present.
Councillor Ruelke?
Present.
Councillor Minarski?
Present.
Councillor Valdez?
Present.
Councillor Corbett? Councillor Redmond?
Present.
Councillor Hammett? Councillor Morris? Councillor Nguyen. Councillor Champagne is here via Skype. Councillor Speakman.
Here.
Councillor Hodgson.
Here.
Councillor Huang.
Here.
Councillor Zhang. Ms. Berardi for Councillor Grehan.
Here.
Councillor Binjik.
Here.
Councillor Douglas. I am here, and I don't believe Mr. Dudashek is here. Okay. With that, just a few items of speaker's business. First off, before we begin, may I remind you all of the oath you've taken. Another note, you'll notice our admin assistant, Nicole, unfortunately couldn't be here tonight, which means she will be relying solely off this lovely recording here to transcribe the minutes. So please ensure that you're speaking loud and clear and so on, so that the minutes can be, or the record of tonight's meeting can be accurately transcribed. I've managed to dig out the lovely microphone for this room, so if you're having trouble speaking and you don't want to come up here to the podium, I can pass you out a microphone if that would work better for you. I've had a couple of questions the last few weeks about proxies, so just thought I'd clarify a little bit there. Standing Orders talks a little bit about proxies. Basically, bylaw does require that a proxy be a member of your own faculty, so ensure that you're following that. Notices for proxies can either be sent written, in which case you sign them, and that can be provided at the meeting by your proxy, or you can send them to me via email. I just need them a minimum 2 hours in advance of the meeting. And again, I just need to know the name and email address of the proxy. Also, and with proxies, if you have any questions, by all means, get in touch with me. In terms of GovCamp, our council retreat that's going on, just a reminder that it's going on this Friday. For those of you that have signed up to attend, there will be an email going out tomorrow with all sorts of details about where you need to meet and where we're going to be and a little bit more finalized schedule and so on and what you need to bring. So we'll be sure to get to that to you tomorrow. One note you'll note on the new revised schedule, we were originally planning on departing at 4. Just due to bus bookings, we're now going to be leaving at 4:30. So that's probably the biggest note. And there's instructions in there as to where to meet. One minor note, just a friendly reminder that when you leave this room, just make sure that you're recycling and taking with you everything you brought in, just because we want to make sure that we don't lose this room or anything. So in terms of reusable plates and that sort of thing, if they're left back there, the L'Express staff will take care of that. But just all your paperwork and that sort of thing, either take it with you or there's a recycle bin over there. So if you could just make sure you're cleaning up everything that you bring in, that would be great. That's all I have for announcements. Seeing as we have no presentations, we will move straight into nominations as they take place immediately after presentations. We have one nomination on the order paper. Item 7A, Lay moves to appoint one member of Students' Council to the Grant Allocation Committee. Given that Vice President Lay isn't here, would anyone else be willing to move that motion? Perhaps another member of Councillor Binchik, thank you very much. Do we have a seconder for that motion? Vice President Chellen, thank you very much. Oh, actually, Vice President Lay, would you care to continue moving your motion on the Grant Allocation Committee? You're still good to move that?
Yes.
Okay, so Let's bump everyone down a little bit. Vice President Lay will move it. Councillor Binchik will second it. Sorry, Vice President Shellen, maybe next time. With that, as we did last time with nominations, Vice President Lay will have a chance to introduce. We'll have brief questions, and then we'll allow for appointments. Vice President Lay, do you have any introduction to make to GAC? Sorry to put you on the spot.
No, that's good. As I mentioned quite recently, the last week or 2 weeks ago, GAC is the grant allocation committee, and you're responsible for reallocating a lot of funds. So you've been working with the Access Fund, with a bunch of the other GFUs, so the Student Refugee Fund, and more. And so it's good. You, I think, work with around $3 million, so it's a good thing to have that financial oversight. So you're working with the Financial Aid Office and a few other stakeholder groups. They're all in this year, so yeah, join, be a good one. And there'll be a lot of changes this year, too.
Vice President Lee, could you also outline the meeting times, just so people can
meet their schedules? We're meeting the second Thursday of every month for the first trimester, so that works out to June 8th, July 11th, and August 8th or so as well. So,
and is there a time, a set time for those meetings?
Currently, they're at 5 p.m.
Okay.
But then we might have to adjust it to meet every 2 weeks, as some recent information.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions regarding this nomination for Vice President Lay? Seeing none, we will open the floor to nominations. Any nominations to the Grant Allocation Committee? Councillor Mohammed?
Nominating myself.
Okay. I assume you accept.
Yes.
Any further nominations? Seeing none, we will close nominations. Congratulations to Councillor Mohammed. With that, we will move back up to item 3, Executive Committee Reports. Do any executive members care to give an oral report? Vice President Lay, oral report.
Can I defer mine until the end of
the... I'm not sure there are any other exec oral reports.
Okay. Oh, did we get that far?
We're already there. There were no presentations.
Our reports, most of what I said in the agenda, I just came, I apologize for being late. I was at an alumni association meeting, so they have their AGM at a barbecue, but I missed the barbecue to be here. And they're talking about a potential legacy project to update Kauai. And so there's an alumni walk, so there's a lot of plans there. So there was a motion to pass or to move that along. And so the president couldn't move PLD, I'll be the one who sits there, but I was there because they're in Ottawa. Otherwise, on my council report, something to note, the gateway issue is still ongoing, and that's a bit of a headache for myself. So if we want to talk about it, we can go ahead and have it, but Michelle, there is a million off of it, but essentially, it's in there, but there is an ad agency which was started by the former ad sales manager of the gateway and the business manager who started a new company and they're soliciting the business of the gateway's ad advertising department. And other than that's all. Yeah, so we want to go into the nitty gritty weekend, but it's nothing too crazy. But other than that, tomorrow there's Frisbee, and then you can come join the SU staff, and it'll be a lot of fun. I think most of the exec will be there, and we can have a good time with the different SU businesses and services. That is all.
Thank you, Vice President Lay. Vice President Chelman, oral report.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just because it's a bit of a short call from getting our way together. Brief reminder of your time, just a quick reminder, if any of you haven't signed up for GapTown, it is too late. The formal sign-up form, but if you absolutely want to attend, please come and contact either Craig or myself, and we'll see what we can accommodate you. It's really important that the sponsors are able to attend. Council will be embarking on a strategic planning process, learning more about Robert's rules, conflict management, social media, etc. It's also a great opportunity for you to interact with your faculty association, who have an incredible amount of influence over what students see at a faculty-based level. So please make it come up the weekend. It should be a good time. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I will be. Unfortunately, this counselor can alcohol will be allowed on the sort of treat as part of the requirement of the summer camp that we're staying at, so please do not bring alcohol. I could have you and us collectively go to the camp. We're going to be the bearer of bad news. And on perhaps not a more positive note, but a different note, if you're interested in having a say over the university budget over the next 3 years, the university's released a comprehensive institutional plan, which includes a budget for the 13-14 academic year, but also projected budgets for 14-15, 15-16. Petros, the SU president, as well as Brent, sits on the board of Finance and Property Committee, and Petros and Brent is on the board that will see this institution.
President Kuzman and Governor Kelly.
You can feel free to call me Dustin and tell me, like, because I've heard these titles. And then President Kuzman and Governor Kelly are both members of the board, and they have oversight over the budget. So if you have any concerns with the upcoming budget, I encourage you to raise those concerns to either President Kuzman or Governor Kelly. Or the really take a look at the budget section of the CIP, the Comprehensive Institutional Plan.
Didn't know it was that loud. Thank you, Vice President Chellen. And as well, thank you, Vice President Chellen, for using more formal names. Of course, the intention behind those is not to take away from any sort of personal effect here, but also just to maintain the decorum, if you will, of the assembly so that people don't engage in sort of issues of a personal nature. Not that you were going down that line in there, but it does help for a general practice. Thank you very much, Vice President Chellen. With that, we will move on to board and committee reports. Any committee chairs that wish to give an oral presentation, or an oral report, Councillor Borden?
So today, we talked about participating in the Pride Parade on June 8th, as part of the university vote. So any councillors that are interested, email me
Thank you, Councillor Borden. Any other board and committee chairs wishing to report? Seeing none, we will move right along to question period. Do we have any questions? Encouraging questions, considering this is a relatively light council agenda. We perhaps have more time than we might have at other occasions to take questions. Thank you, Councillor Bidge.
I have a question to the PPA. My question is, what costs the deposit to increase so much?
Oh, sorry, Vice President Chung.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Councillor Pinchuk, for the question. So the rationale for the increase to the confirmation deposit, which used to be set up at $175, and is being increased to $500, is that the university has decided that it needs to do a better job of enrollment planning. Over the past year, there were more engineering students as well as more science students in the university expected, which meant they had to increase class sizes or find more temporary teaching staff to teach those students. So a way that they've come up with to cope in order to better fund the number of students they have is to increase the confirmation deposit. The idea there is that when students pay $500 rather than $170, they'll be more likely to attend the U of A in September. I made the argument to the registrar's office that, number one, it's not a strategically wise decision for them to make. It puts us in having the highest, among the highest confirmation deposits in the country, which means that students will pay a greater upfront cost to attend the U of A than to attend, say, UBC or Queens or U of C. But more importantly, it's got access issues as well, and that it prevents students who rely on student loans or Aboriginal students that rely on men funding. It prevents them or it's a barrier to them accepting their offer of admission to U of A at an sufficiently earlier period, which means students that have more money will be able to register in the process earlier than those that don't, than those that have to rely on student loans, for example. So, unfortunately, students don't have formal say in this decision. The registrar's office, from my understanding, has just made this decision. Thanks for the question.
Councillor Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Vice President Academic. I was wondering what your and the rest of the exec's plan is for the year on lobbying the university on the $40 fee for not paying following their tuition at the fall deadline.
Vice President Chong.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. That's a really good question. So for those of you that don't know, there's something called the installment fee, which is a $40 fee that if you decide to split up your tuition payment into two parts, you're required to pay. The SU's have concerns for about a year now that fee may not be within the guidelines that are set for the university's ability to levy fees. And so I think this exec is yet to talk about plans on addressing the fees, the installment fee in particular. One of the things that the SU has recently faced is they scheduled a meeting of the Tuition Budget Advisory Committee and the Mandatory Non-Instructional Fee Budget Advisory Committee. Those are the two committees that deal with tuition fees. They scheduled the meeting at a time that none of the SU exec could attend. And so we're in a position where we're trying to have a say on issues around tuition and fee increases, or even something as basic as the installment fee. And there's scheduled discussions about it, times to meet about it, at times that we can't even attend. So I think it's the first issue that we need to address. The second issue is, as an exec, we need to be on the same page and be aware of the arguments against the installment fee. And then third, I think we need to address those in the formal committee meetings that are raised, but also this is an issue with financial services, so something an important issue to raise with the VP Finance and Administration of the University. So then I have a more concrete how we're going to get rid of the installment plans. It's a rather complex issue that doesn't have an easy answer. But I think the very least we need to reinvite some meetings where we can talk about this.
Thank you. Any further questions? Thank you, Councillor Gruelke.
Just for the
I'll direct that question to Vice President Chellen because I'm not really in a position to be able to answer questions during question period.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Because he doesn't get to speak for himself, I'm going to say that would be Mr. Speaker's problem. So please let Mr. Speaker know here. You're welcome, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Vice President Chellen. And thank you, Vice President Chellen, for also letting people know that if they're taking their own transportation, they require just a separate field in the waiver that basically signs off that they're taking their own transportation. So thank you for covering that point as well. Any further questions? Councillor Binchik?
This is to Vice President Stephen White. How is your meeting with Patrick Cortez, and what are the plans for you to
So I met with Patrick Cortez this morning. It was a pretty fruitful meeting. Right now, him and I we set up the different guest committees together. One is the residents' budget advisory committee. That comes the community standards review committee that reviews discipline issues, how it drives the communities, and one is the residents' also special meetings, which the PP student life chairs. For those three committees, we said that we would start residence hall association meetings a little later in the end of the summer because both counselors and execs were less likely to be available. He asked them earlier on for the agenda and they did for the meetings in the end of the summer. As for the community standards review committee, we have a meeting tomorrow. Patrick's unable to attend that one, but he was able to address all the concerns myself. And some of the main concerns of the Community Standards Review Committee are surrounding student representation on the committee. From the resident services perspective, they want more student input into the review that's being written up this summer. But it's adequate to have RAs and SRAs. So I think that's residents, RAs and residents assistants, senior residents assistants, to act as student representation. Whereas from our perspective, they act as staff and not student representatives. And we should have more elected representatives sitting on the committee rather than residents versus staff. So bring that up with that. We had a meeting 2 weeks ago, and we suggested that since most of the discipline cases that are occurring seem to be coming from research, since they do have statistics for that, I suggested that we had LHSA, the List of All Students Association representatives, sit on the community standard review committee as well. Unfortunately, the chair of the meeting stated that in order to be invited at LHSA, that they would have to invite a rep from every other business association as well. So because of that, I emailed her back after the meeting and suggested that she contact the Residence Hall Association president, which is Patrick, to nominate another rep on behalf of the Residence Hall Association being one control. And then I talked to Patrick and asked him whether or not whether he thought it'd be useful to nominate a Lister rep if he was contacted to nominate a student rep. And he said that yes, that'd be in the best interest of the discipline. Yeah, so that's pretty much that, and that's for the residents' budget advisory committee. The RHA hasn't had representation on that for the past 2 or 3 years because they never saw it as a very useful piece for discussion. Except on Patrick and I both agree that this year, with more issues coming up, they want to look at a few of the fees that were being discussed in the residency, and we'd like to be included back on that in terms of referencing so we can participate.
Thank you. Councillor Champagne via Skype.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question, can you guys hear me?
Oh. Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, my question is for Vice President Chellen. I was wondering what his opinions were when considering the cuts that Interim Dean Ed Blackburn has decided to make when cutting the collegial program that was in development at Campus Tangent, which would be the only French collegial program in the West Canadian. Does Vice President Chan believe such a program would be an asset? And does he think, what's his opinion on this decision?
Vice President Chan, I'm going to give you a mic just because I want to make sure. That if you'd like to, yeah, sure, you can come up to the podium as well, if you'd prefer. It's right there, so you can talk anywhere around here.
Cool. Can you hear me, Councillor?
Yeah.
Sweet. Thank you for the question, Councillor Champagne. What I will say is again, because the SU wasn't invited to this TBAC-MBAC, or we were invited, we just weren't able to attend the TBAC-MBAC budget meetings, we don't have information on where faculties are making specific cuts. Over the past 2 weeks, faculty deans have been given letters from the provost's office indicating the amount of the cut that they've been distributed this year. And so this is actually the first time that I've heard of the cut of the Collège Saint-Jean programs. I can't speak broadly on in terms of what my thoughts are on whether or not it's a benefit. I don't think cutting a program can ever benefit students. I think it's a better alternative than cutting staff or cutting jobs, but again, I just don't have enough information to give a clear-cut response. I can tell you that the SU voted in favor of establishing the college programs a few years ago when they were brought through university governance, but otherwise, because I haven't seen specifically what the cuts are, and because I have yet to hear from OFSG, the Faculty Association for Campus Saint-Jean, I can't speak directly, but I do know that the college does provide valuable sort of business certificates for students in French, and that's an important skill and an important qualification that should be available to Albertans and Western Canadians, frankly. So I haven't heard very much. I didn't hear anything about it directly from Interim Dean Blackburn either. So sorry I don't have any more information, but if you have any thoughts or if you want me to get involved in any way, let me know.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Colin.
Thank you.
Campaign.
Thank you, Councillor Champagne, and thank you again, Vice President Chellen. Just a note, we're at about the 20-minute mark, so before I take the next speaker, just so I can give them a sense of whether they have to ask a really short question or not, I'll check whether or not we have five placards to extend question period for another 15 minutes. I see one, two, I see lots. Okay, so we will extend for at least another 15 minutes. With that, Councillor Patel, you will have more time, so take your time. Yes, absolutely.
This question is for the executive. What are you doing to address this schedule conflict thing? Because you mentioned that you haven't been able to attend these meetings. So what steps are you taking to be able to attend?
I'm going to, just a reminder to council that questions have to be directed to an individual person. Perhaps I'll direct it to Vice President Chellen, and he can choose to defer to other members of the executive if he so chooses. Vice President Chellen.
Yeah, that's a really good question. This is unprecedented. I've sat on TBAC MAC for this year, and they always asked when we're available. I'm on scheduled meetings at both the university and the SU. Can attend. It's primarily a student consultation only for tuition and then for their instructional fees. So I was surprised that they scheduled a meeting at a time that I was able to attend, and that the Vice President was in the office. I know President Kuzun sent an email to the person responsible for the an email, as well as the acting provost requesting that second meeting be set up as soon as possible so that we can get the information that would have been provided in that meeting, but also a note to ask the future meetings that they please check to make sure they're available more in the province as well. So hopefully it will.
Thank you. Councillor Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for Vice President Chellen. I was just wondering what was the scheduling conflict. Like, this seems like an important meeting, and I don't doubt that you have other important meetings. I'm just curious why you weren't able to make it.
Yeah. Vice President Chellen.
So, a really good question. I had previously scheduled a community service learning advisory board meeting, and there were rumors that the community service learning program could be shut down. I wanted to attend that to hear from the Dean of Arts that. Or the Vice Dean of Arts, that program wasn't at risk with budget cuts, and to really understand how important the impact TGAP is. But when they schedule a meeting where really the two people who play the biggest role in tuition and fees, the President and Vice President External, aren't able to attend, to ask the VPA to fill in, particularly when the university has a meeting on, I think, a really important teaching and learning program, the community service learning program, the speaker, just isn't there. So, I think I'm hopeful that we'll schedule a replacement meeting, but to really get it's an important meeting, but we can't just at the last minute notice for other regular schedule meetings or cancel a trip to wherever they were all along.
Thank you. Councillor Mohammed.
This question is directed at Vice President Chellen. You just mentioned that the provost gave letters to the deans highlighting what they have to do in their faculties. Do you know if we could see those letters, or are we allowed to see those letters?
Vice President Chellen.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mohammed. The SU would likely ask for those letters so that we have an understanding on how cuts would be distributed across faculties. Right now, the SU doesn't have access to that information. The exec doesn't have access to that information, so we can't provide it to you. It might be worthwhile to have the university come in and come to council and give a briefing on the budget, perhaps. But right now, my understanding of the rationale is that letters to deans are being kept quiet across the university because it's the first year that they're distributed. Cuts, in other words, some faculties are being cut more than others, and so they wanted to keep that information private to prevent backlash. That's just my assumption. That isn't what I've heard from the university, but my assumption is that they wanted to keep cuts private to not heavily impact either reputations of faculties or to encourage infighting between the faculties. That's just my guess. But again, we haven't seen anything yet. I superintend to ask for it, or it's TBAC.
I believe, Councillor Bannister, do you have a request for information?
No, I actually know something to answer this question.
If Councillor, or excuse me, if Vice President Chellen still has his mic on, let's just, he does not. Okay, so he is no longer able to defer. If you want to coordinate that between folks, you can certainly sort of coordinate that on the fly type of thing. Once someone has finished their speaking turn, they can no longer defer. So just to let you know, of course, there is time, and so one could ask Councillor Bannister a question if they so choose. Vice President Lau.
Yeah. So I recently attended an arts faculty council meeting for CBAS, the Faculty Association, and in that meeting it was said that the letters had been distributed to the different deans of all the faculties, but it is up to the discretion of each particular dean whether or not they want to reveal the information in that letter or not. An example, faculty of arts being completely transparent with what was said in that letter, so if you felt inclined to access that specific item, I'm sure that would be quite easy to obtain. However, that is not universal through other faculties. It is totally at the discretion of the dean. So there's not really a blanket statement that can be applied to that. It's more of an individual what each department chose to do.
Thank you. Councillor Speakman, did you have a question or was...
I have two questions.
Okay.
I'll direct this one to Vice President Slay. Although for the executive in general, I was just wondering if a possible solution, as you are all so busy and have so many meetings, if you could sort of defer as it were your attendance and send someone in your stead to some of these meetings, just to, as a proxy, and if that's allowed for some of the university boards and committees, and that person can kind of report back to you on what happened.
Vice President Lane.
That's one that we currently do with an executive cannot attend, then we should send another executive if they're free to attend. But also within the operating policy, there's people that fall in the chain of command. So if the president is not able to attend, then we can be also as the next command. So that's why I went to the alumni association AGM. And so that is already in place, I think, standard practice, but I'll defer the rest of my response to Vice President.
In my particular case, I would have sent that delegate to the Community Service Learning Advisory Board. That delegate is a member of the Population Group, whose membership turns over on the first, so I haven't yet appointed new delegates, but otherwise that would be standard practice. Typically, TDAC and MAC meetings are very held over the summer, usually the university isn't dealing with a budgetary crisis over the summer, so it's under the delegate.
Thank you. Vice President Lau?
Question for Vice President. Any updates on the campus of the
Thank you, Vice President Lau. There has been a little bit of progress on the financing, and it's being worked on by the general manager and our senior manager of the finance administration, Peter Cup. And we're looking to present to the council next meeting, but then we'll have documents about the potential capital financing strategy. So it'll be very important for you to review those documents for the presentation next council meeting. We'll give you as much notice as possible.
Thank you. Any further questions? Seeing none, we will close question period. Excuse me. And continue on our agenda. Board and committee business, item 6A, Borden moves that Students' Council, on the recommendation of the Council Administration Committee and the CRO Selection Committee, appoint Shane Crawford as Chief Returning Officer for the 2013-2014 term. Do we have a seconder for that motion? Thank you. Councillor Mills, excuse me. Councillor Borden to introduce. So just to give council a little bit of perspective as to why we're handling this way and not sort of a typical nomination route, because students' union legislation, namely students' union bylaw, requires that a recommendation come from both the CRO selection committee and the council administration committee. A specific name is put forward for these sorts of nominations, so they're dealt with as a formal motion. So the floor is open to debate. Again, there isn't really a question period per se, although, again, you could ask questions in your speaking turn that may be able to be picked up by, members of the council administration committee or the CRO selection committee if they're present. To give you a little bit of background as well, the CRO selection committee consists of the current chief attorney officer and two members of the DAI board, and obviously the council administration committee is the council administration committee. So with that, we will open the floor up to debate, and again, if you have any questions on the process and so on, just rise on a point of parliamentary inquiry. Councillor Binti.
Parliamentary.
Yes, point of parliamentary inquiry.
At this point, our only options are to appoint Shane Hepworth or to appoint no one?
Generally speaking, in nominations, because a recommendation has come forward, if council chose not to recommend this individual, the proper procedure would be to vote this motion down. It probably wouldn't be in good order to amend it to someone else's name, so to speak. That's sort of circumventing some process. So that's not, however, to say, and there is some precedent on this from a die vote question that was asked a few years ago. CAC and the CRO selection committee are obliged to provide a recommendation. Council is not required to necessarily fulfill that recommendation, and in fact, the two committees don't even necessarily have to recommend the same individual. In this instance, they have, but council is free to accept or reject this nomination. If in the event that this nomination was rejected at that point, then one could move forward with perhaps a motion to recommend a different name for the position of chief engineering officer, which would probably happen at a later meeting, again, simply to ensure fair process. So any debate? That was simply a point of parliamentary inquiry. Councillor Binchik with debate.
Can debate be a question? Is that my question?
Yeah, so how you would do this normally is if you wanted to ask a question, you can just sort of ask it out on the floor, if you will. You can't ask it to a particular person like you normally would, but you can just sort of throw it out there, and someone else with their speaking turn could choose to pick up on the debate.
Okay, well, the question is, what makes our candidate the best candidate that we
possibly have? Okay, thank you. Councillor Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I will be voting in favor of this. It's come through proper channels as well. That name should be pretty familiar to you all. Shane Cropper was the DRO during our own election, so you've had some experience with him. I can't really speak to this election process because I was not part of it, but he's the right choice for the job if that's what the selection committee and CAC believe.
Thank you. And one other note I may make on this matter, simply because it is somewhat relating to an employment matter, if any member of council would wish to go into specifics that aren't available to be discussed for privacy reasons ex-camera, then one could move to go in-camera. My sense is that someone on council administration committee could probably advise as to whether information would not be able to be disclosed publicly, in which case one could choose, if they so sought, to move in camera. But our bylaw 500 does restrict what sort of personal employment information can be disclosed ex camera, but we would cross that bridge when we get there. Councillor Mills.
I think in favor of this motion. CAC last year received a lot of applications for positions, and CRO. We shortlisted. And this is the one that the committee went with. Part of the reason why, I'm not sure if the speaker mentioned this, that the DIWAR members are a member of the election committee and not members of CAC, is to keep the elections office arm's just so that we're not handpicking people who are going to let us, you know, potentially get away with rules like insurrections and stuff like that. So, I was in favor of this. One other thing, Shane acted as the deputy returning officer for our council elections. I'm sure that's a familiar name for most people. He did have the most experience as well.
Thank you. Councillor Borden. Okay. Motion to call to question. So again, that would close debate and have us immediately proceed to a vote. Do we have a seconder on the motion to call to question? Thank you, Councillor Hodgson. This is not amendable, not debatable, and requires a two-thirds majority vote. So again, this vote is on whether or not to immediately proceed to the question. Then if this vote passed, we would immediately vote on the question itself. So all those in favor of calling to question? All those opposed? Okay, that motion is carried. With that, we'll move immediately to the main item. Item 6A, Borden moves that Students' Council on a recommendation of CAC and the CRO Selection Committee appoint Shay Crawford as Chief Hearing Officer for the 2013-2014 term. All those in favor? Those opposed? That motion is carried. Congratulations to Mr. Crawford. And with that, I believe we are at the end of our agenda, so I would look favorably upon a motion to adjourn. Vice President Lay, Councillor Mills seconds. Thank you very much. All those in favor? Any opposed? That motion's carried. We will proceed with attendance. President Kuzmun, Vice President Chellen, Vice President Woods, Vice President Lay, Vice President Lau, Governor Kelly, Councillor Battelle. Folks, if you could just keep quiet for just a minute so we can wrap through this, that would be much appreciated. Councillor Borden? Councillor Mills? Councillor Hanwell? Councillor Bannister?
Present.
Mr. Matthew for Councillor Schiavone? Councillor Mohammed? Councillor Bruki? Councillor Minarski? Councillor Valdez?
Present.
Councillor Corbett? Councillor Redmond?
Present.
Councillor Hamid? Councillor Morris? Councillor Nguyen? Councillor Champagne is still with us, I believe, via Skype. Yes. Councillor Speakman.
Present.
Councillor Hodgson.
Present.
Councillor Huang.
Present.
Councillor Zhang. Ms. Berardi for Councillor Graham.
Present.
Councillor Binchik.
Present.
Councillor Douglas.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are adjourned at 6:46 p.m. Thank you very much. I hope to see all of you or as many of you as possible at GovCamp.